Welcome to this week's episode of Ellen with Eli. We have an exciting episode for you today, filled with an amazing interview, encouraging and engaging discussions, and interesting perspectives on Christianity. Today, our guest Dale Christensen shares his inspiring experiences and knowledge about his walk through faith. So sit back, relax, and join us for a conversation you don't want to miss. But before we start, let me just give you guys a bit of background information about him. Dale is 30 years old and was raised in the household of his parents, Brett and Leslie, with his two siblings, Kim and Bryce. After going to school in suburban Melbourne, Dale followed a university honours degree in chemistry and currently works at the Australian Synchrotron, a government-funded research organisation, and finished his study for a PhD earlier this year. He married his wife Gina in 2017 and has two kids, Theodore and Elias. Okay, I think we're ready. I hope you guys enjoy it. Stay tuned and let's get straight into it.
Welcome to Ellen with Eli. Stay tuned.
So much for joining us, Dale. I'm so glad I can interview today. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I just got home from work, had a long day, a 12-hour shift, and then I've just put my toddler Theo to bed, and he's listening to some Bible stories on a different podcast, and now I'm suddenly offended. For this. That's right.
Thank you so much for fitting in the time to do the interview with your night shifts. Could you tell me a bit about you and what you do for a living, if that's okay with you? Your job sounds very interesting and unusual.
So for the last 5 years, I've worked at a place called the Australian Synchrotron, a scientific research facility, and it's the only one in Australia, and there's only a few in the Southern Hemisphere, so it is pretty unique. We have scientists from all over Australia and other places too, from New Zealand and Singapore, will bring their samples to the Australian Synchrotron and they'll analyze them at our facility. And I work in the control room there. So I'm what's called an operator, and one of my team is there 24/7 to keep the particle accelerator running smoothly so the scientists can do their job. So that's my job. It's been a real blessing. And I didn't really think that that's the job that I was going to get. It's pretty close to what I was studying, but it's not the job I imagined. I was very blessed to sort of fall into it in a way.
That's so unique to have a job like that. It's really cool. What kind of job were you hoping to get when you were younger?
So when I was really young, my siblings and I had this idea that, Theo's just got out of bed.
It's all right.
Bring back to bed.
No, yeah, it's all right.
We'll pause there a second.
So good.
Theo, come here. Say hello to Eli and then we're going to go to bed. Oh, Mum's going to take it. All right. You say goodbye to Eli. Oh, we forgot to give him cars. He's allowed to have one soft toy and two cars at bedtime.
Oh, special.
And really, I forgot to give him his cars. Okay, so let's start that question again. You asked me what job I wanted to be when I was younger.
Yeah.
So when I was very young, my siblings and I, so there were three of us, we decided that each of us would be one of the services when you call 000. Bryce would be a policeman. My sister Kim would be a paramedic in an ambulance, and I was going to be a firefighter. But then when I grew up, I sort of wanted to be a journalist when I was in high school. And then I thought maybe a scientist, but I wasn't sure what type of science I would like to do. Then during my degree, I thought I'd like to be an environmental chemist or maybe an analytical chemist. And it was doing analytical chemistry that got me into the job that I'm in now. So there's my journey of jobs that I wanted to do.
And I know you have been interviewed on Faith's podcast too.
Yeah, of course. It was great. Faith, her podcast is called Salty and Bright. It's a great podcast where she interviews people about their spiritual journeys. And she's a very thoughtful and talented interviewer. So she made it very easy. It was great. I just got to talk a little bit about my family and some things that were important to me in growing up in the Christian faith.
Yeah, you're probably the VIP now. You know how interviews work inside and out. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you've done more interviews than I've been interviewed. So I think you're the expert here.
So did you do the interview on Zoom?
Yeah, just like we're doing now, except I did it at work. So I did it on my lunch break and I did it with a terrible quality microphone. So if you listen to the episode that I'm on, Faith's audio is very clear. And then when I come in, it's very crackly and bad background sound. So I've got a better microphone set up that I've borrowed for this interview. So hopefully it comes out much better.
No, yeah, it was Faith's first episode too. Well, I mean, she had it like trailer, but it was her first episode, and that was a pretty good episode for the first episode, though.
I'm glad.
Were you in a room with other people when you were at work?
No, thankfully. That would have been a little bit weird. Well, I mean, I do have an office that I share with other people, but for the interview, I went to a meeting room and so that I was away from other people.
Yeah. And if you don't mind if I ask, what was it like growing up in a Christian household with your family of five?
Yeah, of course. It was great. I have a lot to be thankful for with my childhood. It was a very blessed childhood with mum and dad. My mum and dad are Brett and Leslie. They blessed me and my siblings with a household centered on God. Just reflecting on it in the last week or so, they made very clear that God was the center of our lives, but they didn't shelter us. They didn't keep us indoors and keep us from experiencing the world. It's just that we experience the world through the lens of God and through the lens of Christ. So that was a really valuable experience for them to give to me and my siblings.
Tell me about your family. I loved hanging out with your cute kids recently.
Yeah, okay. So obviously I've grown up, I've got married, and I have two kids of my own. I have Theodore, who is 2.5 years old. I have Elias, who is 6 months old, and they're both very dear, very good blessings from God. Theodore is a little bit mischievous. He's struggling through his toddlerhood defiance sort of thing, and that's a big learning curve for my wife and I and for him as well. We struggle to keep him in bed a bit, which we've just experienced. That might make it into the final episode, but listener, let me just peel back the curtain a little bit. Eli may or may not have had to cut some audio where Theo barged into the room where I'm doing the interview when he should be in bed. So those sort of things happen when you have toddlers in the house. There's a peek behind the scenes of podcast interviews.
Yeah, and a few weeks ago, Theo's auntie had told my mum about how she was reading Theo a Bible story about Eli and Samuel, I think. And Theo was like, oh, Eli, I know him. He came with Big Lily. He calls my sister Lily, right. Big Lily. And then I want to play with Miles. I just found that really cute.
It is cute. And so we loved having your family over at our place for dinner recently. That was great. I have really enjoyed spending some time over the years with your family. And it was great to have you in our house. And especially now that Theo is old enough to sort of remember past events quite clearly and remember people and talk about the things that he wants and the things that he remembers. So there's beautiful, cute things like that. I think he understands that you are different to the Eli in the Bible. I know sometimes toddlers can be like, well, they have the same name, so they must be the same person.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a friend
who's
Daniel, and another friend's toddler was like, this is the Daniel that was in the lion's den. And he was like, wow, I can't believe the guy who's in the lion's den is in my lounge room. But no, I think Theo understands the difference there. But then there's Elias too, who's very cute. He's 6 months old, so he's just started eating solid food. And by eating solid food, I mean grabbing it and sort of gumming it and then spitting it out everywhere. So that's fun. Fun for me and my wife, Gina. I should say also, because you did ask about my whole family, not just my kids. My wife, Gina, and I have been married for 5 years, nearly six in July, and that has been a beautiful blessing from God.
Yeah, and like what kind of things is Elias and Theo into? Like I know a lot of toddlers are into trucks, stuff like that. Yeah. Are they into a sort of specific thing? Is it planes? Is it trucks? Is it Bluey? You know?
Oh, all of those. Yeah. So Bluey and Thomas the Tank Engine are the two big sort of TV shows that he's into. But apart from TV shows, anything with vehicles, right? So cars, trucks, motorbikes, bicycles, planes, trains, all these things. Now, I'll tell you two things about Theo's enthusiasm there. One thing is we have a lot of construction going on around our neighborhood at the moment, which is a bit of a pain because it means driving around. It takes a little bit longer as they take you on a detour and there's lots of noise around. But it's great for Theo. because we go for a walk any day and he will see a digger, he will see a crane, he will see a cement truck, and, you know, he's just having the time of his life. And the other thing is that every evening when we say a prayer before we go to bed, we ask Theo, what can we thank God for? And every night, without fail, he says, trains and cars. You know, he wants to thank God for trains and cars. So that's clearly got a special place in his heart.
Yeah, yeah. Every time Theo says Thomas, as in Thomas the Tank Engine, he always goes, Thomas. Thomas, yeah, is so cute. Right. Yeah, when we were at your place for dinner, we did a devotional there. And for one of the songs, we were singing This Little Light of Mine. And we had turned off the lights and you gave our family and yours each like a little plastic candle. I thought that was really special. Yeah, that was really cool. Is that what you guys do every time when you sing that song?
Yeah, so when we sing that song, which Theo calls the light song, yes, we turn off the lights and we each get a little plastic candle. Yeah, not a real candle, a plastic candle that we turn on and we sing This Little Light of Mine. And yeah, I think it's a little special thing for him. At the moment, he enjoys it purely because he gets to wave a little candle around, but I hope that his enjoyment of that will lead to his enjoyment of the understanding of the words that we're singing. Like you said, when you guys were here, we try to do a devotional with the family every night. So that's a few songs and a Bible story and prayer. And hopefully the fun that he's having with the songs helps transfer into, you know, an enjoyment of God's word and an enjoyment of prayer and singing together as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really special. And I remember at a camp that we went to a few years ago on talent night, you proposed to your wife, Gina, on stage. What made you want to do that?
I was very silly. I was very silly. Well, okay. So here's the thing. I had bought the engagement ring online, but it was very difficult to ship it to Australia without paying a lot of extra money. And so I had organized to ship it to my friends in America, to Heather Roberts, who is the daughter of Dale and Sheila Hartman. And their siblings, like Kent and Nancy Hartman, were coming over for this camp. And so I said, Heather, can you please give it to Kent and Nancy? And then Kent and Nancy brought it over to the camp and we were going to be at the camp. And so I basically wanted to propose as quickly as I could when I got the ring. And so I got the ring the first day of camp and I proposed like the third day of camp. The other thing that made me want to do it at camp was I wanted to surprise Gina and Gina was not expecting me to propose at camp. I think if I'd tried to do something like we get back from our holiday and then maybe a week later I take her out on a picnic and propose to her beside a river or something like that, she'd be expecting. And I wanted to surprise her. So, yeah, it definitely did surprise her.
Yeah, everyone did get a really big surprise.
Yes, yeah. And I look back at that, I think, are you crazy, Dale? But, you know, she said yes, and we're living happily ever after, so.
Yeah, what year was that? I don't know how old I would have been. Well, I would have been like,
good question.
I don't know.
I think that was the 30th of December, 2016.
You remember the actual date? I thought it was just going to be the year. Wow.
That's the week after Christmas. And I'm pretty sure the talent night is usually the night before New Year's Eve. I'm not good at remembering dates, but I think that's how I'm working it out. Yeah. And then we were married in July 2017.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Okay. So what made you decide to get baptized?
Yeah, I mean, I guess growing up, I always knew that I wanted to get baptized at some point. The question was really just when, right? And it's not an easy question. When you're growing up in the church, you know you want to be a Christian for your whole life. You've got to make the decision for yourself at some point to say, I am going to get baptized. And it's the tricky thing because you think, do I know enough? Am I mature enough? And there's other pressures on you. Maybe you might think that there are people at church who are saying, you know, putting pressure on you to get baptized, or you might not have that experience. Just trying to put myself in the frame of mind that I was at the time I got baptized. I got baptized on my birthday, on my 15th birthday. So I never have to remember what date it was because it's just my birthday, the 12th of January. And I guess that would be 2008.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Just get baptized on your birthday.
Yeah, that's right. But here's the thing. In our family, we have a tradition of celebrating the anniversary of your baptism just as much as we celebrate your birthday. And if you get baptized on your birthday, then you only get one. But if you get baptized on another date, then you get two celebrations. So there you go. There's the pros and cons. But what made me want to get baptized, I grew up wanting to dedicate my life to Christ. The tricky bit was figuring out when to get baptized. And I sort of struggled with that a little bit. And like I said, I can't really remember all the processes that were going through my head. I'm an old man now, Eli. And actually, now that you say that, I realize because I'm 30 this year, that means that I was baptized half of my lifetime ago. So I can't really remember. Yeah, I guess so. I guess now I've been baptized longer than I was unbaptized, which is pretty cool. But yes, I think there are two questions there. Do you want to be a Christian? And if you do, then you'll get baptized at some point. But then the other question is, when is the right time? And that's not the same for everybody. And I can't even really remember the reasoning around why I did it when I did it. But I'm just happy that I did it. I guess I felt a bit of pressure. I felt like I really need to get this done. It wasn't now or never, but it was like, all right, there are really no excuses for me at this point. There's no reason for me not to. So if I don't get baptized now, then it's really like I'm making excuses, right? And looking back on that, I think maybe that was a little bit immature of me. I don't think that I needed to put the pressure on myself that I was doing it. It would have been okay to do it a little bit later. But I am glad that, you know, looking back, that I did it. I got baptized. I committed my life to God. I was buried with Christ and raised to a new life. And it was the best decision I ever made.
That's really inspiring, Dale. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I love asking Christians why they decide to get baptized, because it's encouraging to hear like when they got baptized and why they felt the sudden urge at that very moment. Yeah.
I will add, so I got baptized on my birthday at the beach, at Frankston Beach. And that is the same place that my father got baptized, I guess, like 30 years before that. So that was pretty cool. But I remember coming home afterwards and having a shower and just sort of being overcome with relief and gratitude that a lot had been leading up to that point, and I was glad that I'd taken that step. And I was just very thankful to God for, you know, forgiving my sins and starting this walk with Him.
Yes, wow, thank you. Yeah, did many people come to your baptism, or was it pretty like low down, I guess?
Well, my whole family were there, and I remember there were at least two or three others, I'm pretty sure. To be honest, I think my mind was in a bit of a whirl. There would have been a few from my local congregation who live a little bit closer to where we live that came down, I think.
So, Dale, where would be your dream holiday?
That's a good question, actually, and I've been trying to think about this because there's different reasons why you go on a holiday, right? And I'm sure you've found this, for the place and the experience, and some holidays you go for the people. And so I've really enjoyed holidays that I've gone to, and I've spent a lot of time with friends and families and brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's nowhere special, right? Like, it's been a great holiday, but it's just, but if you're asking like where would be a great holiday for the place and the experience, well, I really enjoyed the time that I spent in the Lake District in the UK a couple of years ago. That's up in the northwest of England. And there's just a lot of great hiking, a lot of cool little towns, a lot of very beautiful and picturesque scenery, a lot of random sheep wandering around, all that kind of stuff. And it's just lovely. And I was there for a work conference on Lake Windermere. And this is when I was dating Gina, and she was on a tour around Europe at that point. And she came across to the Lake District, and we did some hiking there together, which was a lovely memory. And so, yeah, if I was just going for a holiday for the enjoyment of the experience, I think I would go back there. I really loved that.
Yeah, hiking, so romantic. And
well, for some people, Gina and I both like hiking, so it's romantic for us.
Yes, yes. Do you have a favorite song, Dale? Are you into music?
I am into music. Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what's one really good theme song that you might not expect. The original Thomas the Tank Engine theme song.
Yes.
It's so good.
I was actually into the Bob the Builder theme song too.
Oh, yeah. So. Classic. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Bob the Builder, yes we can. Good looking, dizzy and rolly too. Lofty and Wendy, join the crew. No, that's good. So, my favorite musicians or artists or bands, if I had a top three, I think it would be Leonard Cohen, maybe Paul Simon, and a band from California called Wolfpack. So Leonard Cohen and Paul Simon are a little bit older from previous generations. Leonard Cohen actually died a couple of years ago, which is very sad. But Wolfpack are a much younger band from the last decade, and they're very different music to their funk music, which is very cool. And so their music is fun to dance with my kids too, because it's very, it's got a great beat. Yeah, no, they're really fun. Leonard Cohen and Paul Simon are a little bit more serious, but I think they're both great musicians and great lyricists. So they talk a lot about the pains and struggles and joys of human life. And I think they do a really good job of that.
Yeah, I should probably ask, what's your family or your kids' favorite songs? Do they like, you know, theme songs or silly songs or Wiggles? You know.
Well, so here's the thing. Gina likes a lot of music, but a lot of the music she likes is from the 90s and early 2000s. Whereas I grew up in the 90s, but I listened to a lot of my dad's music, which was a lot of Beatles and Led Zeppelin and ELO and Steely Dan. And then when I was in like early high school, I started listening to my own music as well as that. And so Gina likes music from the 90s and early 2000s. And that is the one era that I know nothing about. Like, it's a complete musical black hole for me. So Gina and I have quite different musical tastes. But Theo will request songs in the car in a really interesting way. So I mentioned he likes Thomas the Tank Engine. He knows the names of characters from Thomas the Tank Engine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll be like, I want to listen to Annie's song. And I was like, well, there isn't really in the show Thomas the Tank Engine, there isn't a special song for Annie. That's one of Thomas's carriages. But I was like, well, hang on. I can find a song that's got Annie in its title, right? And so I'd play something that's like, there's a John Denver song called Annie's Song, or we'd play something from the musical Annie, you know, Tomorrow, or, you know, It's a Hard Knock Life. And he'll ask for things like, he'll say, I want to listen to the train song. I was like, well, what train song?
Like, what train song?
But I thought, well, I can find a song about trains. And there's this really cool song by an African artist named Hugh Masekela. It's called Stimela, which is the name of a train that brought workers from elsewhere in Africa to the mines of Johannesburg in South Africa. And it's like this 10-minute long African jazz song, mostly not in English. And I was like, for a joke, Theo, I'm going to, when you ask for train song, I'm going to play this song. And he loved it. I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
Like, so he kept asking for this train song. So
what's it called again? Sorry?
It's called Stimela, and there's a great live version. I think it's exactly 10 minutes long. I mean, there's a lot of instrumental sections, but he makes a lot of train-related sound effects as well, and I think that's the bit that Theo really enjoyed. At different points of the song, he'll go, and Theo knows when those bits are coming. And he gets really excited about them. So, yeah, that's the type of music that Theo listens to. But I have fun thinking about, if he asks for this character from Thomas the Tank Engine, what song will I play for that? You know, it's fun.
Yeah, wow, that's really funny.
And now it's time for Fact of the Day, the segment in every episode where we share an interesting fact. So today's fact is, if you've ever wondered why the phrase "we raise a toast" exists, it's because the ancient Romans used to drop a piece of toast into their wine for good health. Soggy bread? Ugh.
Do you have an all-time favourite movie or show?
I don't think I do. I think I probably go through, just like Bible verses, I have different favourites at different times. But there are some movies that are just very, very impressive to me and I enjoy going back to. I really like Mad Max Fury Road, which is a cool Australian movie from a few years ago. And I really like movies by the Coen brothers. I watched one recently called Blood Simple, and there's a great classic one called Fargo that is pretty famous. Yeah. I don't know. I'm more of a music person than a movie person.
Yeah. Okay, well, For the final question, I would like to ask, what's your favorite memory that you always look back on?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure, but the thing is about the stage of life that I'm at the moment, I feel like I'm going to have a lot of moments around this stage that I look back on in future years, because my kids are not always going to want to run up and give me a huge hug. And I think I'm going to miss that. So when I got home from work tonight, I walked in the door and Theo ran up to me and gave me a big hug.
Aww.
and was very excited to see me. And I think those are the sort of moments that I'll be looking back at in 10 years' time that I think I'll be revisiting a lot. Yeah, lots of memories being created with young kids at the moment that are very special.
You work night and day shifts, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so I bet when you come home, whatever time it is, they'd probably, miss you.
Yeah, exactly. And so at least at the moment, Theo's generally sleeping in to about 6:45, and I've already left the house by then on a day shift. And when I get back, he's just maybe 10 or 15 minutes away from going to bed. So I only get to see him for that last 15 minutes.
And on the weekends, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't work Monday to Friday. So I usually work 4 days at a time. So 4 days on, and then actually I get a week off before I have to go back to work. So I got a lot of days where I'm with him the whole day. But when I'm at work during the day, I do miss Gina and Theo and Elias a lot because it's a long day and I don't get to see them much during those days.
Okay,
That's plenty of material. That's great.
Yes. Thanks for the great chat, Dale. I really appreciate your time. Say hi to the family for me. Thank you so much.
Yep. Will do. And you say hi to your family for me too.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. Okay. Bye.
Talk to you next time.
Yep.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Elm with Eli. I hope you found me and Dale's discussion inspiring. And to our guest, Dale, thank you for coming on. Listeners, if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I appreciate your support and I look forward to bringing you more great content in the future. Have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you on our next episode. Bye!